this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry.
My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pop if you don't control the pop. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris Wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 38 of Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is being recorded Wednesday, March 26, 2014. This is Aaron, and in tonight's episode, we talk about Parisi going home, Prosser's dirty hit, injuries, and rookie signings. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And sitting next to me is Jive.
Hey-o!
And I'd just like to throw out a note. Follow us on Twitter. We are at Three in the Box, where we live tweet games and... At least we try to be participatory even when we're losing.
Trying to promote the Finnish Wild Mafia.
Yeah, hashtag Finnish Wild Mafia. We've got like three people on board with us.
One's a Swede.
And one's a Swede. a Swede who doesn't like the Swedish house mafia, which I can agree with.
Wild SWE, we salute you.
At Wild SWE, yes.
And Jarka and Zhuka?
Zhuka!
And Jarka?
Jarno.
Jarno.
Jarno and Zhuka.
Yeah.
Our Finnish buddies.
This goes out to you, buddies. So, I don't know what we're talking about. The Wild have had a crappy week, so let's just go right into the Wild news. So, the Wild go 1-2-1 over the last four games, including tonight's pathetic loss to the Canucks. That means they won one in overtime against Red Wings. That was their single win of the stretch. That was on the road, and then they lost in regulation at home against the Red Wings. And then they lost in overtime in New Jersey in Parisi's return back to his homeland, kind of. He had plenty of boos when he was on the ice there. Not nearly as relentless as Nashville fans were with Suter.
Yeah, but Parisi touched the puck more.
Yeah, it's like, he doesn't hold on to it. Like, Suter will sit back behind the net and he'll figure out what he's doing. He gives the crowd plenty of time to boo him. Parisi is like, on my stick, off my stick. Crowd goes, boo! And that's about all they can really do. They don't have time to actually sustain a full boo, you know, so he's got that going for him at least.
Well, and Suter just seems to take his time with everything. It looks like the guy doesn't even skate. He just glides to where he needs to go.
It's effortless.
And he's there.
Yeah. It's like, okay, there's Suter, I guess.
And that's the thing is you don't catch him out of position very often.
It's pretty rare. It really is.
I swear the guy just floats to where he needs to be.
He just hovers. He's like, he's got like little jet packs on his legs and he doesn't even move them, you know.
So Suter though, yeah, he returned back to New Jersey first game.
Parisi.
I said Suter, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Sorry. Parisi's first game back to New Jersey. First time playing New Jersey since the big signing. You know, he got a goal.
Well, he had a goal and then it got reversed after the fact. I think it ended up going to Granlund or Pominville. I can't remember exactly, but I think it went to Suter actually,
which is kind of ironic.
Yeah, no, but he lost his goal that they originally credited him with scoring.
I think the guys up in the booth were a little jumpy on putting Parisi back on the scoreboard in New Jersey.
They were just so used to it, you know.
But, oh yeah, Parisi's out there done.
Yep, that was his, no doubt, no doubt about it. Yeah, and the Wild, you know, they clawed back. They were down two goals after two periods. They just looked really bad to begin the game. And somehow they ended up tying it in regulation and then blew it in OT, you know.
Luckily, they didn't tie it in OT.
Yeah. No, this is true. Hey. We'll take all the points we can get at this point. I mean, seriously.
You know, we've been playing a lot of teams this past week. Well, I mean, I guess three games this past week in particular that are on teams either trying to hold their position or on the outside looking in. Prime example being Vancouver tonight and the previous two Detroit games. So yeah. They're all going to be tough games. They really are. And the schedule coming up, it doesn't look much better either.
No, the upcoming schedule doesn't look very good. And plus, the Wild are playing on the road a lot. I think we got, what, 10 games left? And good
nine now.
Nine now.
I think it's nine.
And a good portion of those are road games. So
well, the next four, at least?
I believe the next four, at least, are road games, yeah.
Ouch.
And it's not an easy schedule. But with them returning back to our, with Parise getting a chance to play in New Jersey for the first time since signing, I know before last week's game, Brodeur was mentioning that Parise was on the verge of coming back to the Devils and was going to bring Suter with him. At this point, is there any chance that Parise is sad about not coming back to New Jersey? I mean, is there any way that he has any regrets?
It's New Jersey. Would you want to live there?
I don't think that he has regrets. I mean, this is home, you know. I mean, and that said, I'm sure that he enjoys playing for the Wild, and I mean, he's got a big contract here, and he's going to be here for.
He could have gotten paid pretty well in New Jersey though too.
Oh, I'm sure they would have definitely upped his contract,
right?
Well, I mean, the thing is, this is happening almost 2 years after when this originally happened.
Yeah.
And Broder is still bringing this up. Who's actually butthurt about this?
Well, I think Broder is upset because he signed 2 days before Parise did.
Wow.
And he's like, we just went to the finals.
You're going to bring in a top D.
We're going to win this now.
Oh.
And no.
And New Jersey got dumped on again.
Somebody pulled the rug out.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, Broder is left at the altar by himself. So, and he's 42 or 41 or whatever at the time.
Does Broder have a ring? Oh, does he want to call? He's got a couple, right?
Yeah, a few, yeah.
Yeah,
so it's not like it's, you know, he can retire without having never lifted the cup.
No, and honestly, you know, Broder's skills have kind of deteriorated. I know we talked a lot about him possibly being our alternate chance for a goalie, you know, before Brizgalov got pulled in.
Oh yeah, he did bring that up. Was that no? That wasn't Broder that brought that up. Who was the previous goalie that we had, our rental goalie?
Theodore?
Yeah,
Theodore.
Theodore had brought that up, saying he wanted to come back when we were looking for a third.
Yeah, I don't know about all that, but also in that New Jersey game, there's a controversial call, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I would say. Basically, I mean, you got Prosser coming in to the corner, him and also Cicito from New Jersey. They're both coming into the corner hot. And honestly, the way that I saw it, Prosser was able to get to the puck. So, and next thing you know, he's got Cicito bearing down on him.
Cicito was coming in with some gusto, man. He
had a couple. He had like nine strides before getting to Prosser.
Right. So we're looking at a charge coming that way. But anyways, Prosser, I mean, like anybody in defense of himself. When something's coming at your head or your body, you're going to put your arms out to defend yourself. I mean, that's just human nature, and that's all he did. And I saw no flagrant elbows that flew in this. Do you guys think that was a legit call?
It was obviously a BS call. You know, Cicito was running him. So basically, Prosser had two options. Defend himself or get laid out and get a power play. And I don't know that it would have ended any differently for Cicito because he was playing recklessly. And, you know, the refs weren't taking into consideration his lack of, you know, control of his own body when ejecting Prosser.
He flapped around like a fish on the ground as soon as he hit the boards.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And I think that's more what caused, because I know when he got up, they said, "Oh, he's woozy and this."
Well,
and that.
He needed help.
Well, I think
he did, yeah.
But I don't think that it was the initial impact. From when I watched it, it looked more like once after they collided,
he kind of bounced off the boards.
He went bouncing off the boards, exactly, yeah. And that's probably what jarred his head. And I mean, Yeah. All in all, I mean, and then after the fact, he also gets a game misconduct, and then he gets, what was it? Suspension?
No suspension.
No, just out of one game.
Yeah, just kicked out of the game.
Game misconduct.
Okay. Yeah.
Which happened to be very early in the first period.
Yeah.
Was it 5 minutes in?
Yeah. I mean, put the Wild down pretty early, and, you know, we're already at that point. Later in the game, we're really hurting because then we ended up losing.
Shorter defenseman.
And then
we ended up losing Ballard in the game, too.
Which he came back.
Yeah, but now he's out again.
So he obviously Ballard was playing hurt.
Right. But just because he knew we needed.
Yeah, we'd have been down to 4D.
Right. With Suter there, that kind of lightens things a little bit.
Well, Suter's
going
to still take up, you know,
half the time.
25% of the D position in a given game.
Right. Yeah.
But do you really want to put that much more on Suter? I think, Aaron, one of us had tweeted, I think it was you, I know we both talked about it, about suiting up Darcy Kuemper in lieu of for a fifth D-man.
Yeah. But in another question that I have on this, and I think you probably raised this question before, actually, Kenny. Should a ref be held responsible or have some sort of a liability or be accountable for poor calls that they make? I mean, if you go back and look at the footage, we all agree that it was not a great call. And that said, you know, the Wild, they go the entire game now here without one of their defensemen. And I mean, that's a big impact to a team.
They ended up losing.
Yeah. Maybe we put the refs in the penalty box.
You know, and that's kind of the amazing thing is afterwards, NHL, you know, they basically said, you know, Proster, what he did is not suspension worthy. But we agree with the call on the ice. That should have been a penalty. So I don't know what world they live on. I mean, an NHL that says that, there's no way in hell that they're going to be looking at and making these refs accountable for that.
Right.
You know, they're just sticking up for their guys because I understand what they're in a weird position. They don't want to throw their guys under the bus.
And that would have been how many games in how many weeks that they're defending their refs against the Wild in particular. Now, I don't know how it's been across the league if it's been this bad. You know, we've obviously been watching.
Right.
That, we may be a little biased.
Potentially.
Well, you know, I think a good thing to look at is, you know, with when Hala ran Leighton, you know, whatever, a week or two ago.
Right.
He got kicked out of the game. And if you look at slow motion, it's obvious he didn't try to. He was tripped up by one of Leighton's defenders, and that's why he goes into Leighton. But in real time, it looked like he just ran him. So that's a very defendable call by the refs.
I absolutely.
Mean, the refs only could see so much in real time. And
right. But are the refs judging then based on the aftermath? I mean,
some of it.
They totally
somebody,
are.
Because somebody gets up walking off woozy. I mean, you can have a clean hit, and it could still knock somebody out.
Oh, no doubt about that.
That's just part of the game. I mean, and he can't make a call based on the outcome.
So
right,
Prosser's position then. So he could have his arm coming up, whether it hit him, whether it hits Cicito or not. His elbow. Let's presume that it actually did make contact. So is he supposed to take a concussion and get hit in the head, or should he protect his head?
I would say a similar situation I think happened, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, but where Nicholas Cronwall was going to take a run at Koivu up against like the sideboards, and Koivu just basically stopped short and, you know, turned into a board, turned into a wall. Cronwall ran straight into his back, and Cronwall was laying on the ice like he was the one maligned when he was taking a run at Koivu, whereas Koivu was just like, nope, I'm going to stop here, and you're going to run into me, and you can deal with the consequences of trying to run me over. I know Red Wings fans were like, oh my God, he totally, you know, but it's like, what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to just like sit there and take it.
No,
I mean, how ridiculous is that? I mean,
you got to be able to defend yourself. Otherwise, you know.
As Wild fans, and previously having Clutterbuck, how many times did we see Clutterbuck take a run at a guy and get completely laid out?
I think he held his own all right.
Yeah.
He did, but there were times where he just completely got laid out.
Where were
you? And, you know, I never took it as offense going, holy crap, that dude, you know, that was a bad hit. It's just like, holy crap, Koivu or Clutterbuck just laid himself out.
It's like, if you're going for a hit and you wipe yourself out, that's karma, man. That's instant karma.
What, you know,
I mean, regardless of if it's your player or the other team's player, it's almost, personally, I'm speaking for myself, that's kind of a beautiful thing to watch.
It is.
Because they're looking to wipe someone else out, and they wipe their own selves out. And that's it's hilarity. And it really, it's hilarity.
Wasn't it Clutterbuck that ended up in the Vancouver bench like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you look at it, and what are you going to do? Blame the Vancouver player for moving out of the way?
Right.
No. You know what? He did the smart thing. Now, had it actually been up against end boards and he moved out of the way, Clutterbuck knocked himself out, and I don't remember what player he was going after at that point, but had he made just slight contact with Clutterbuck, would you expect him to take a game misconduct because Clutterbuck had
if he was,
took a run at him?
If he was woozy, yeah, definitely.
I mean, where's our sarcasm, buddy?
Hold on. I think I got a phone call from you from Gary Bettman. He's looking to hire you.
Hold on, Jive. Shanahan's got me on my line.
Hockey fans are special.
It's one of those things that obviously Prosser was trying to protect himself. He wasn't trying to play a dirty hit. Bad call. Wild were now down basically a defenseman and a half because Ballard getting injured.
Right.
And did it lead to the loss? Well, watching how they played after that, I don't necessarily know. However,
and you guys keep talking about these losses. Yes, we did have some losses here, but what we do have to remember is that we took some points away from this. I mean, though they were overtime losses that we had, I mean,
loss
or overtime loss, overtime win.
We had 3 points in over four games, so it's not all is lost,
right?
So I have a tough time saying that's going to be a playoff team.
He gets something,
but you're playing against the Canucks, who probably aren't going to make the playoffs. You're playing against Detroit, who are on the verge of not making the playoffs. You got the Devils, who aren't in the playoffs. These are teams we should be beating.
Agreed.
Or at the very least, we should be coming out above 500 point-wise.
Well, what if we just want to make them feel better? You know, we might just want to play.
It's the Minnesota Nice in hockey form.
That's right. We play to the level of our competition, so they all feel competitive.
This sounds like classic Minnesota sports fan, you know, trying to rationalize the losses here.
Minnesota sports fanitis.
If this was round one of the playoffs, this 1-2-1 right now would mean we're one game away from getting knocked out of making it to the cup.
Yeah, it would.
Do you really see us heading to the cup this year?
You know, as it stands right now, still playoff worthy.
Yeah.
Not, maybe not worthy, but still in the running. Still number one.
Okay, but with this
wild card,
but with this play this last week here, or last 2 weeks even, I'll go the last 2 weeks. Is this a team that can even make it past the first round?
No, because we're probably gonna be playing Anaheim or San Jose, two teams that.
Or St. Louis.
Oh, God forbid, if we play St. Louis, we're screwed.
Right.
Not to sound like a Debbie Downer, but come on, man.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, here's my thoughts on that. And this is kind of leading into my next point. With some of these losses, when's Yo going to step up and start, rather than just moving guys to the third and fourth line, some of our heavy paid guys, start scratching them, making them a healthy scratch. Heatley, prime example. He's a team leading minus 16 for plus minus.
team leading.
I don't know if you really want to consider that leading.
Right.
Brodziak ends up going losing 8 out of 11 faceoffs and is on the ice for 3 goals. I think that was against
New Jersey.
You know? And Yo's backing him up saying, well, he was good the first 2 games, so he must have just had an off game.
Or
we need him because we need another center.
I gotta ask you this question because you guys always like to sit and pick on Heatley. I understand that he may not be performing up to maybe the $7 million mark or whatever, but you gotta say, is he at all like victim to like the lines that he has had to play with? I mean. Sure, he has been consistently there, but he has had different people switched in and out, you know, all year long.
I mean. Understandable. Aaron, I think you wanted something to say. I've got a little bit of a rant to go on that, so feel free.
No, you go ahead.
Well, post the CBA salary cap, all of the lockout, going back to, what, 2004? Four?
The last lockout, yeah.
Was that when the salary cap hit?
2004, 2005, yeah.
What other, besides after that, or I'm sorry, besides previous to that, when have you seen a $7 million a year player play on the third and fourth line?
But part of what Jai was saying, and I think it's fair, aside from the money, is it really his fault that he's not scoring when he's on the third and fourth line? Is it just a product of being around players that can't produce?
No, it's not. But obviously, there's something else going on that he's not getting moved up. He's played on the top lines this season. It's
on
like
a fill-in basis when there's been injuries.
You know what? Yeah. Had he actually proven himself, I can almost guarantee you all want to move them back down.
Oh, really? Because who up there is going to be moving back down?
Let's see. You got Charlie Coyle, who is playing on the first line, who's still on an entry level contract, hardly making anything.
Entry level contract. We're not talking money here. I mean, aside from that, he's a bright future, is he not?
Sure, he's a bright future. But don't you want your bright future being on the lower line, working their way up, and having your veteran players that are getting paid a lot more, who should be producing more? Be on those top lines?
Not necessarily.
Okay, how about this? If you look at a guy and, you know, if you're on the third or fourth line, you're only playing so many minutes. I know we've talked about with Brodziak, you know, he doesn't play as many minutes, and you look, compare him to Halla, and Halla's playing less minutes than him, right? I mean, we can all agree
right,
that.
Right,
yes.
But if you take points per minute, where do you think Heatley stands up in this team?
Where do I think he stands up?
Yeah, where he stacks up.
If
I were to tell you he was in the bottom half of the forwards on this current team, would you be surprised?
No.
Because he is.
Okay.
I'm
not surprised.
Right. I mean, basically it goes Parisi, over a 60-minute period, he's averaging 2.4 points per minute, or per game, per 60 minutes of ice time.
Yeah.
Next is Granlund, actually, which is actually kind of surprising. Beyond that, you got Pominville, Koivu, Molson, Niederreiter, Fontaine, then finally Heatley. So, I mean, Heatley playing on the third and fourth line, the way he's scoring actually puts him right there. He's played himself into that position.
Fair enough.
You know?
I mean, that's if you're looking at points on the board. What you also got to remember is we need to cover at the other end of the ice, too. So. And there's no real grading down there except for a block shot.
That would presuppose that Heatley actually plays defensively, which he never does. Yeah. He's always the one cheating up the ice, trying to relive 2007.
Hence the minus 16.
Hence the minus 16. Basically, if he's on the ice and it's in the Wild's defensive zone, the Wild are basically playing on a power play at that point. And that hurts, on a PK. That hurts the Wild. It really does. I do think that Heatley does get a bad rap in that he when he wants to, he can clog in front of the goalie. And that's always been his bread and butter, is parking his ass in front of the goaltender and tipping something in. And you see it in bits and spurts, you know, with the Wild this year, but not with consistency.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think a guy who's making over 10% of what your actual cap is when you have 20 guys or 18 guys on the roster just seems a little ridiculous.
I mean, I've said it before and I'll say it again. If he's making a million or two, I'm probably a little less hard on him.
Absolutely.
Or I'm a less hard on him. Brodziak's
what, 1.2, 1.6?
No, he's
7.
More than that.
1.3 mil.
He's only 1.3.
That's Google what they have, 1.3 mil.
I don't think that's right. I think I'll have to double check Cap Geek. I think he was in the 2 to 3 range. But that being said, you know, I don't know. I Brodziak and Healy, I think I think their days are numbered with the Wild. And
fair enough.
We'll see.
Cap Geek's down right now.
Oh, of course. but you know, we'll see. We'll see where that goes.
And well, just speaking of those guys, you know, if they should be even here or playing, or should we be making room for our younger talent possibly to be coming up? The Wild did have a signing of Gustav Olofsson, and he comes to us from. They signed an entry level contract with him. I think he was a USHL player before this. So basically, for him, I believe that puts his eligibility next year only to play in the AHL.
I think it's going to be a similar deal to who is the guy we Dumba.
Dumba, yeah. So yeah, exactly. So. Do you guys have any thoughts on this? Do you guys think that's a good signing for the Wild there? I mean,
it sounds like it. And he's still a really young kid, so yeah. It's like for him to for anyone to think that he's going to be a major impact right away is pretty unlikely.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a lot of good things being said about him online, so it's like it's a little tough not to get too excited.
Right. He's ranked. That's what I've seen, is he's ranked very high for. The coming classes of college level.
Yeah, and I think when I've looked at prospect rankings, I think he's, as far as D-men for the Wild, he's basically right behind Dumba.
Yeah.
So it's like, and when I say right behind, I mean like right behind. So like, as hyped as Dumba is, he's like just behind him. So, you know, actually, I think a good question is what does that do with our situation with D-men going down the road, because you know we got Suter's long term. I think at this point we gotta figure Spurgeon is probably gonna be long term.
I hope so. I like Spurgeon,
you know, and probably Brodin, I would think. Scandell, I think he's a fence guy. You know, I don't think Ballard's a long term guy. I don't think he's gonna be around much longer.
No, but I think we'll have Dumba back next season.
Well, but that's the thing, is we'll have Dumba. You know, if Olofsson can figure things out, you know, then we have to start thinking about, you know, what do we do with Prosser? What do we do with Stoner? What do we do with Blum? I mean, Blum has looked pretty decent, actually, in these few games. We've gotten a view at him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what are the Wild, you know, Tyler Kuma, what are we going to do with him? I mean, has he flamed out in the AHL and that's basically the end of his career? I mean, or at least this career with the Wild, I mean, who knows?
I think it's gonna. I think a lot of these guys are gonna start getting used as trade bait to potentially get some more younger talent. However, how much can you keep going after just younger talent and not breeding them to become professionals to win cups?
Right. I mean, you can only do. You're not gonna get much with a guy who is flaming out in the AHL.
No.
You know, you're lucky if you get like a fourth round pick for him, and that's not going to, you're not getting your return on investment at that point. What they need to be doing is taking guys like Stoner or Ballard, and when they're not ready to, or, you know, Ballard's maybe a bad example, but Stoner is a, you know, he's a good guy. He's not great, but he's a solid third.
Serviceable.
He's serviceable. You know, flipping those guys for picks or something like that, or younger talent that could actually turn into something more valuable for a team that might need D help. I mean, on our team, he's the third line D. On another team, he could actually work. I could see him working up to a second line. He's never going to be a top line D, but I could see him working up to a second line D somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to flip guys like that when we're not going to want to pay him, and he's going to be going anyway. So let's get something for him. You know.
Well, hopefully, you know, maybe this is something that especially next season I personally need to work on. But watching more of the Iowa Wild games. Because it seems like some of these guys coming up are playing a completely different system than what Yo's playing. And I don't know how their system works down there. But it seems like some of the, especially like the younger D that are up and down, they don't know where they need to be. Like you'll see the Suter line, and usually whoever's paired up with Suter, lately it's been Spurgeon.
Right.
But even Brodin, you'll see those guys creeping into the offensive zone, making offensive plays. You'll actually see him in camera view when the puck's in the upper left corner where, you know, you're losing a lot of your neutral zone. You start seeing some of these younger guys, and it looks like it's a 3-on-5 game, hockey game, because of D's so far back on the blue line. You know, and like I said, yeah. I haven't caught up enough with the Iowa Wild to know.
Also, if you're making an appearance at the pro level, you don't want your impressions to be getting burnt.
Yeah,
getting somebody,
no, understandable. I guess the point I was trying to make is a lot of these younger D guys that are up and down just seem lost. They don't know if they should be. They don't seem comfortable playing one comfortable playing under Yo's system where he wants to push.
You know, it could be that they're just not talented enough to be able to cheat like that and then get back and play a defensive
style. This is very true too.
And the pace of an NHL game is, you know, going to be, you know, a lot faster, and things are going to go a lot quicker for them than down at an AHL level. You know, I mean, that's part of the difference in levels too. It's, I mean, it'd be like going from, you know, pitching softballs to hitting 90 mile an hour fastballs. You know,
right. Just to go back to Olofsson and you know, what his future is. The website Hockey's Future, they rank him at a 7C. Which is basically they're saying he's has a potential to be a top four defenseman, and has an okay likelihood of achieving that potential. To put that in perspective, Erik Haula is also listed as a 7C. Justin Fontaine is a 6.5B, 6.5B. Brett Bulmer is a 6.5C. So they're saying, you know, he's basically got a similar potential as like Haula as being. Not an all-star, I think. I don't think you'd say a top four is all-star level, but a guy that, you know, could potentially challenge for an all-star spot maybe 1 year in his career, but is going to be a solid day-in, day-out, you know, kind of guy, and I'd love to see that. You know?
I know this is still really jumping the gun, but I'm kind of looking forward to next season when some of these contracts are up and done and we can start cutting the fat from some of these guys that have these huge contracts right now.
I mean, yeah, the Heatley one and the Brodziak one are going to be the two big ones. You know, and that's going to free up a lot of room. The problem is we got a lot of, like, you know, I know we talked about this last week, but we got a lot of kids that are going to be coming UFAs, RFAs in a relatively short period that we're going to need to start putting some money to.
They're going to want their money too.
You're going to have the Granlunds, you're going to have the, you know, Spurgeons. Those sort of kids that are going to want money.
Well, and that's the thing is, when it comes down to it, this is all a business.
Oh, absolutely.
And, everybody's there to make money. I mean, they're not. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of people would love to play hockey for a living, but you know, when it comes down to it, they're there to make a living. You know, and that said, I guess what you also got to look at is when it comes time to pay all these younger guys when they want to get paid out. If you can't pay them, there's only one other thing that's going to keep them here, and that's to be a winning team.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And so that comes back to Mr. Yo.
Well, it actually comes back to Fletcher.
I don't know. I think Fletcher's. I got to say he's doing all right bringing in some talent.
I think he has been, and I think that's why we've been getting why we've been able to sign some of these guys is because it's not Risenborough.
I'm going to go against you guys a little bit. I think Fletcher's brought in some good guys. I'm not going to disagree with that. He hasn't brought in enough quality big guys that can battle across the boards. We saw tonight, we're actually a really good puck possession team, and when we can get through the neutral zone, we're a very tough team to beat. When we're down and they start clamping down and everyone's clogging the neutral zone and we have to resort to dump and chase, we can't beat anyone across against the boards.
We don't got the gritty guys. I hear you.
We don't have the gritty guys. We don't have the bodies, the big guys to get in there and get dirty.
Well, we saw that against two games against Detroit. It's
been a recurring story this whole...
That wasn't Detroit. That was a Detroit's AHL affiliate that we were playing. That was doing it to us.
Right. I mean, it's been an ongoing story since the teams have kind of figured this out, since we kind of went off that hot streak. And... if we're going to talk, what does Fletcher need to do? Yeah, I know a lot of people are like, we need Vanek. I don't know if Vanek is really the solution. I don't think Vanek's big enough. I think we need a guy that, one of our guys really like matches up against, like St. Louis. St. Louis, player for player, is they're big, they can score.
We need TJ Oshie.
What about Quavo? He's big. Like a big teddy bear.
You need to be big and you actually need able to, challenge them physically.
Throw your weight around.
Yeah, because we don't have any of that. We don't have guys that finish checks, or
you know who that. I really like that the Wild had, and I wish we could get him back, even though he's retired, is Owen Nolan.
That was a gritty guy.
That guy was gritty, and he had no problem losing teeth. To get a goal.
Old gray balls.
Old gray balls.
I think he's well into retirement now, so I don't know if you're going to be able to get
him. I don't think he's coming back. I loved his style of play. I think Parisi's almost to where he's at. Parisi's pretty gritty. Not quite as haphazard about his grittiness as Owen Nolan was, but he's close.
I can agree with that. I mean, that's the thing is... We saw it early in the game earlier tonight, After they get down a goal or two goals, a lot of times it seems that the wind is just taken out of their sails and, they don't fight back.
Granted, this season, or at least this season, is not as bad as it's been in the past decade for the Wild, where if they're down by two goals, you've got no hope that they'll come back.
Won five games this season being down two goals in the going into the third.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like now I'm not happy that we're in that position, right. But I haven't lost hope,
Well, let me ask this. Let me remember what I was going to ask. Hold on one second. What were we talking about?
Old gray balls were one. But I think
who put that in the show notes? Because it threw me off.
Under the injury updates. So old gray balls, is that the injury for having blue balls?
Anyway.
This all got derailed.
That's what she said.
So I will just reel it all back in and we'll go right to the injury update. So what's new? No updates on Harding. It's not looking good at this point with nine games left in the season. Jason Zucker has undergone quad tendon surgery. Nicholas Backstrom has undergone surgery on his ab muscle. So they both are officially done for the season. Stoner has a sprained knee, which he suffered in that home game versus the Red Wings. He's listed as week to week, which is not a good sign. Keith Ballard was injured in the Devils game prior to that, which I think we discussed, and he has the elusive lower body injury.
I'm sorry. So with the injury, looking at Harding's on our show notes, looking at Harding's it has it listed as MS complications, but I looked at it as Ms., as in like Ms., like lady, Ms. complications, and I was like, he's having issues with his lady. Like, what?
He's got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one.
Oh, good God, this is getting late.
So with that, we got a few games this week. They're all road games, as we alluded to. We got a Thursday game against the Blues in St. Louis, Saturday night game against Coyotes in Arizona, and then a Monday night game against the Kings, a late game on 9 o'clock.
Got Chicago coming up right after that, too,
on Thursday, I believe.
Yeah, next week. So, I mean, you got, oh, God, yeah, the number one in the
easy pick,
the NHL on the road.
Yep.
Coyotes, I think we're...
I think they're eighth. We're neck and neck with us.
I think they're eighth. They're on the outside looking in, or are they right behind us?
They're right behind us.
So basically trying to hold their wild card spot, yep, as we are.
Yep.
And then the Kings, who were third in the Pacific, I believe.
Yeah. So we're facing a lot of potential playoff teams here.
And then you toss in Chicago after that, which we'll end up talking about next week. That's looking very ugly for ending the season, or getting close to the end of the season for the Wild.
Way to have confidence.
Right.
Oh, I got it.
All right.
Okay. In the opposing team.
You want to know what? You rattle off a win or two in there, and your team becomes very confident.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, that's the thing, is what you want to do is head into that playoff. You want to head it into it hot, you know.
Well, we're facing.
That's okay that we're fizzling a little right now, because we'll pick it back up.
Wow,
save the energy.
I love your optimism.
I'm very optimistic.
So
with that, the game of the week. So last week's game was Detroit at the Wild, Jive's game. I believe Josh was the only wiener in that game.
Wiener by default.
By default.
We picked him. We picked it for him, and he wins.
So, yeah.
That's what you call
Minnesota nice.
Yeah, exactly.
So with that, yeah, Josh is the only one that by default got the Red Wings, and that puts right now Aaron ahead by 2 points, and the rest of us in a three-way tie for
last place, right
behind them. So still anybody's game unless Aaron happens to win this next week, and he'll kind of take the lead by a couple. Mm-hmm. Actually, that might be the last of it. If you win this week, you might have taken it for the season.
No, we still got playoffs, buddy.
Oh, this is true.
We got playoffs.
See, well, this guy has no faith over here, man.
We're done.
He's like, we're
done.
2 weeks and the season is over.
He was
trade the team, fire sale.
What's you've seen Major League? You know, like the guy sitting up in the bleachers. Oh, go home. We suck. You suck.
So the big question is: Zio have a cardboard cutout of Craig Leopold?
Maybe that's why they're losing.
We're like, we're getting too close to the banana hammock.
Brizglov, it's humongous big.
Oh, humongous big.
So since Josh won last week, he chose, obviously he's not here, but he chose the Coyotes game. And since I was the big loser last week, I'm going to choose the Coyotes winning 3-2.
Wow.
How do you like that?
Going against the Wild, like the one game.
You know,
like,
where's your confidence
really actually,
that the Wild are going to win?
Right. This is like the one game in the series of their next games that looks winnable.
No, you know? Not really, because Phoenix is still, they're pushing the same we are.
They are, but, you know, as far as record-wise, I think that's the easiest matchup we have.
No, that's going to be the hardest.
You think so, huh?
I think so.
All right. Well, put your money where your mouth is, because it's your pick now.
Yeah, so I think it's going to, you know what, the Wild are going to win. I'm going to try to contradict myself as much as possible in the last 5 minutes of this show just to see if anybody catches on. I'm going to take the Wild winning 4-2. I do think it's going to be a really tough game. But I think hopefully somebody can kick somebody in the rear end and get these guys going. You know, it didn't look good for either goalie tonight. Only have, a day off, I think?
Right away tomorrow night.
Then 2 days. Something needs to happen. But I'm gonna still go with the Wild winning 4-2.
Fair enough. I'm going to have to go ahead and agree with you.
On the 4-2 score, you can. I already took it.
I won't take your score, but okay. I will take the Wild winning this one. I'm going to have to go ahead and say that the Pride won this one 3-2 because, as we've seen history throughout this season, picking the numbers 3 and the number 2, that seems to be the winning combo. So I'm going to go 3-2 with the Wild winning.
And then Josh, absentee ballot here. He chose the Wild winning 4-3, which means he's probably going to win. So we'll see. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but...
well, we'll see what happens. So, you know what?
We actually have time to talk about the Gophers. Oh, my God. And on that note, the Gophers lose. Oh, boy. They fall in the Big Ten tournament over the weekend. They lost 3-1 to Ohio State.
Sampler issues tonight, sorry.
They got knocked out of the Big Ten tourney in the semifinals. This upcoming Saturday, they host the NCAA West Regionals at the XL. They'll take on Robert Morris University out of Pittsburgh, PA. They're still ranked number one going to the NCAA tournament. Do they stand a chance in the NCAA tournament? Will Lucia finally bring us another national championship?
Not going to happen. Quinnipiac's still in it.
I don't know. I mean, I think their chances are good this year, but still, I don't know. I don't see enough consistency in the team.
No.
Especially to warrant their rank, but I mean, if people are gonna feel that way about them, I'll go ahead and agree. But I think they'll go deep in the tournament. But you know,
here's what I'm looking at right now. Robert Morris, I'm hoping they can just kind of steamroll. I'm hoping. The problem is the second round they're gonna be playing either St. Cloud State or Notre Dame.
We've had problems with Notre Dame in the past.
We've had problems with Notre Dame. St. Cloud has kind of been falling off. They were, them and the Gophers, I think, were number one and number two at the beginning of the year. St. Cloud State was up at number three. I think they may have dropped down. Obviously, they have. I think they've kind of been petering out a little bit, but it's still going to be a tough run against either of those two teams. It really is. As far as Minnesota sports, though, I mean, we still got Minnesota Mankato in there in the lower bracket.
Right.
I would like to at least see a Minnesota team make it to at least the championship.
Your odds are pretty good.
Maybe not. I mean, we got two Minnesota teams facing each other.
Right.
Going into the semis.
One of them's got to advance. I mean, right?
Not necessarily.
No,
if
no.
they don't make it, they're right. But yeah. If they both make it to that... the second round there, they'll you know, at least one Minnesota team.
Okay, so let's do a little round robin here. Okay, in the number one bracket, you have four teams: Minnesota, Robert Morris, St. Cloud State, Notre Dame. Kenny, who wins that bracket?
I'm gonna go with Notre Dame.
Jive.
I'm gonna take Minnesota to come out of that one.
And I'm gonna play the homer card and go with Minnesota as well. Okay, next one up, we'll go number two bracket. Mass Lowell, Mankato State, Denver, and BC. Kenny.
God, it's going to be tough. As much as I'd love to see Mankato State there, Boston College, they've been a powerhouse. How many years now?
Yeah.
I'm going with Boston College.
Okay.
My pick out of there is actually going to be Denver to upset.
Oh, and we're all going for different ones. I'm going with Mass Lowell. So, I don't know. That'll be, that's a pretty interesting bracket there. Number three bracket, we have Union out of New York, Vermont, Providence, and Quinnipiac. Kenny,
I don't know if they can do it twice, but I don't think they can. I'm gonna go with Vermont.
Well, since you won't take the underdog, you know I'll always bet on the underdog.
Actually, I was going on the underdog because Vermont is the fourth seed in that bracket.
Yeah, point.
Fair enough, but even seated underneath that number three team, there still is Quinnipiac. And I'm going to go with that.
You know what? I kind of hope that they do, just to prove me wrong, to see if they can do it twice.
And I'm going to go with Providence just to be the contrarian. So,
okay.
So what's going to happen when Union wins?
Yeah, well, what's going to happen when
we're all losers?
Or when Mankato
wins.
We already knew that,
right? Great.
Okay, and then the fourth bracket, we've got Ferris State, Colgate, North Dakota, and Wisconsin.
I think that was Fenris Wolf Toothpaste.
We're only missing rotations per minute.
Right.
Close, yeah.
Well, actually, that
Aaron,
would
why
be,
don't you go first
probably,
on this one?
Rotations per minute would fall under North Dakota. They're a big aviation school.
I thought that was South Dakota.
Another sample failure.
I love it.
Folks, I just want to take a moment to apologize that I left a little bit of equipment behind tonight. But thankfully we were able to.
That's what she said.
To loan out Kenny's machine here. So maybe in about 5 minutes you might hear the sample that we just tried to play. But anyways, let's go ahead with that fourth round of the bracket.
So yeah, I guess I'll take the first pick, and I'm gonna go with the top dog. I'm gonna go with Wisconsin. Jive.
I'm gonna go with Wisconsin too.
Oh really?
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, I gotta go with North Dakota. I gotta go with Nodak.
Nodak, huh?
Boo.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with Nodak.
Alright.
So
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, neither do I, but it's still Nodak.
So what are we going to do? Call out who we think's going to win it overall then after that?
I don't know.
Yeah. We can do that now?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so out of my picks, you want me to? I'll go first. I'm going to pick Wisconsin.
And I'm going to take my upsetter Denver to win it all.
I'm going with BC.
BC.
Yeah,
Nobody has any confidence in Minnesota.
I think they're going to win one.
Actually,
or two, maybe.
I didn't pick any Minnesota teams even getting past the first round.
No, you did. You picked Minnesota.
Sorry. I guess not the first round, but the semis, because I ended up picking Notre Dame.
All right. I think Minnesota, U of M might win one, but I just don't have a bunch of confidence in Lucia, so you know
what I'd really like to see? I would like to see Minnesota and Nodak in the semifinals against each other.
That would be beautiful.
They did not get to play each other this year. It would be a beautiful thing if those two matched up in the semis.
Yeah, that would.
And then if it got down to Minnesota Mankato State for the championship.
That would be awesome.
How beautiful of a thing would that be? That would be my favorite tourney bracket. I don't think it's going to end up that way, but that would definitely be my favorite tourney bracket.
No disagreements here?
Nope.
So, yeah, I don't know, gentlemen.
Here in Minnesota, we don't get many other opportunities for like the
for a championship hockey team?
Well, actually, we do all right for hockey.
Yeah, that Stanley Cup that I've got a picture next to is awesome.
Well, we'll comment on that. But our college hockey team.
College hockey is a different story.
College, yeah. Successful. Gophers have two-peated. Repeated. Yeah? Almost three-peated.
Two-peated.
They two-peated.
Wow.
Is that like a number two on the Bristol scale?
No, they're a little chunkier than that.
Okay. Oh, And on that note, wow. I think it's about time we wrap up this show.
I think it is about
time. you know, when I'm not doing this show, you can catch me live tweeting Wild Games with Kenny or Jive or one of these guys. And we live tweet at Three in the Box during game time. We lay out the snark. We talk about stuff falling over and Wild Sweden rivalry and... yeah, lots of good stuff like that. And aside from that, you can catch me on Twitter, my personal account, that's at AaronGNP, and you can check out my band. We are Pinrot, and you can check us out at pinrot.com. Jive.
Yeah. And when I'm not here, I am as far away from here as possible because, as you guys can see, these guys are totally freaking nuts. But if you want to follow me, you can follow me. I'm at Jive Midnight on Twitter. Kenny?
Yeah, and this is Kenny. You can follow me on at RottenK999 on Twitter. Usually, you know, causing mischief with Aaron sitting across from me. Jive when possible. But, yeah, I'll probably be a little quiet this weekend, taking a small break. A tiny vacation. Going to Ireland.
It's called a mini vacation.
Yeah.
Staycation.
Staycation in Ireland. There'll be Irish beers around.
All right.
Irish whiskey.
So, I think with that...
So, you're going to drink yourself into a stupor this weekend?
No.
How is that different than any other weekend?
Right.
How is that different than tonight?
Well, that's what I'm wondering, you know?
And there isn't.
Yeah, well. All
right.
So, with that, we'll bid you adieu and have a good night, folks.
Ha!